kindness, your love, your peace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that you allowed your son to shed so that we can be delivered from darkness and be delivered into your glorious light. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can bring us in the mind of God so that we can understand those things that he's been thinking towards us. Father, thank you for Apostle Thompson. Thank you for his vision and this training center. Thank you for the other instructors. Father, thank you for the students that are not only here in Darrell, but those that are watching us from all over by internet. Father, may we together as one receive all that you've called us to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Acts, the 16th chapter. Tonight, we'll continue in chapter 10 with the purpose of covenant. We went over two the week before last, before we took our exams. Tonight, we'll begin with the third one. The first two was for a relationship of intimacy and for an increase of promised blessing. If you kind of remember, I talked about Abraham, and one of the first things Abraham asked about when God told him in Genesis the 15th chapter, he said, I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. And the first thing that Moses talked about after hearing that was, I need a son. And so the purpose of that was Abraham understood that the calling and the grace that God had placed on his life was not just for him. And he needed somebody that would stand with him that can carry on past his lifetime. So the third reason or the third purpose of covenant is for the continuity of the message. This is important. Matter of fact, hold your fingers in Acts the 16th chapter. Go to Matthew's the first chapter. And I'm about to show you a passage of scripture you read it and you got tongue-tied with the names. But now I'm going to give you a reason of why all those names are important. Matthew's the first chapter. The third purpose of covenant is for the continuity of the message. Matthew's the first chapter. Verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I'm not going to read all these names, but I'm going to read the first few. Abraham begat Isaac. We're familiar with that. And Isaac begat Jacob. Isaac was the one that Abraham asked for. You see this? And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And that's talking about Jacob begetting as Joseph's generation, all those. Now, you see that it started off with Abraham and it finishes with Jesus. If it was not for Abraham successfully keeping the accuracy of the message to Isaac, they would have never stayed in line for Jesus to be born. The seed that we're benefiting from, the birth of Jesus Christ, was because Abraham started and kept the message of God to him, kept it accurate, and passed it on to other generations. So if somebody comes along, if Isaac wouldn't have been concerned with what Abraham was concerned with, then there couldn't have been no continuity of the message. Isaac would have just went through life thinking he was just born. Not that he had a purpose that was bigger than him. How did Isaac learn that? Isaac learned that. Listen to me. That Isaac learned that because he was in covenant with Abraham and Abraham imparted that to him. Are you seeing this? So without covenant, the message would not have any continuity. Now, do you understand? Listen to me. I'm about to take you on a journey that you're going to see what's going on. Now, do you understand why there are all these denominations? Now, do you understand why there are all these different ministries? And here's the thing. If you're not in an apostolic surrounding and you're dealing with ministry, every individual ministry will think their message is more important than the other. And so now you get all these conferences around the country where they're bringing all these big names in, and people leave from the conferences more confused than when they came. Why? Because everybody has their own agenda. Are you seeing this? Because there's no continuity of message. Why there's no continuity of message or continuity? Why there's no continuance? Or why is there no singleness of message? Why is there no synergy of message? It's because there's no covenant. Is that making sense? Jesus got here because of covenant. If it was not covenant in place, it'd have been much more difficult for Jesus to get here. Much more difficult. Go to Acts 16 chapter. So now you know the importance of Matthew's the first chapter. You say, why they listed all those names? Why they who begat who and who begat who and who begat who? It's because God wanted us to see how important covenant is. How important that we must have a singleness of message. Acts the 16th chapter. We must be in covenant with each other so that we can be strengthened and synergized with each other so that we can carry the revealed message to others without compromising it. Right now, because the Word of Faith camp thought they had the answer and the Grace camp think they have the answer, they can't come together to realize that you can't work without, grace can't work without faith, and faith can't work without grace. So watch this. Watch how Satan works. So now Satan has the Word of Faith thinking it's only by their confession. It's by how much faith they have. Then on this side, you got the Grace camp saying, well, it really doesn't matter. Whatever I do is covered, without them coming together and realizing that if I don't in faith is obeying God's word. What? Right. And obeying God's word by what? Following the heart of God. That's grace. Then I'm going to wind up in sin. Yeah. Now, what is sin? What's the real issue with sin? Listen, you're never going to forget this. What's the real issue with sin? Yes, grace covers sin. The real issue with sin is that it leaves damage behind. Yes, you're forgiven, but it leaves damage. When damage is left behind, Satan now has a right to come back to the place of ruin if it's not dealt with the blood of Jesus. See, God forgives. God forgives. God's forgiven us for sins past, present, and future. That's truth. But what we don't deal with is the damage or the wounds that's been left behind. So therefore, if I'm over here with this grace message, the hyper grace as they call it, without faith, then that means that I'm going to be making up life as I go. I'm not going to be obeying God. So therefore, eventually, I'm going to be in sin. So, yes, God is going to forgive me, but then there's the wounds that are in my soul that are still giving Satan a right to stop me from going where I need to go. Now, if I get over here in faith and I don't recognize the grace of God, then I'm going to think it's on my efforts. When God tells me to do something, I'm going to think that it's because of what I've done while God is doing this for me. And that's not the truth. So when you put the two together, you have a continuity of the message. Is that making sense? See, that's why you have all these different denominations develop, because number one, Covenant is not in place. Well, really, number one, honor is not in place. You can't have covenant without first having honor. So if we don't respect each other, then it's going to be impossible for us to come together. So there has to be a continuity of the message. There is a need for men and women to surround spiritual leaders as if they are one with them. There's a need for that. The body of Christ lacks that. The body of Christ is void of that. We need to surround our spiritual leaders just like we're one with them. Acts the 16th chapter. We need to be like hand and gloves fitting with the message of our spiritual leaders. Being able to move with the wind of God, whichever way he blows it. Watch this. Matthew 16, verse 9. It's very important. Now watch this. And a vision appeared to Paul. Acts 16, chapter, internet, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul, right? In the night. Here's the vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. There's a shift by the tape. And after what? He, right? After he had seen the vision, immediately we. Nobody else saw the vision. Only Paul saw the vision. Nobody else saw the vision. Listen to me there. Only Paul saw the vision. Good question. Where did we came in at? Because it was Paul saw it. And it says after he saw the vision. Look what it says. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. As surely gathering the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. God showed it to Paul. But then the people that were with Paul said, we are endeavored to go to Macedonia. That's how we have to be with our spiritual leaders. God may talk to them, but we have to endeavor to go with them. Is that making sense? The message and the assignment that God has given us also must become the message and the ongoing assignment of everybody around us. So many in our churches are connected to us, but they are at odds against us when God takes us to a fresh direction. How many times have God taken your lead into a fresh direction and you can see the people? You can see certain ones who don't like it. Apostle stood up Sunday and said, he said this, watch what he said. He said, you to blame for where you are in your health. Nobody else. You to blame. Now watch this now. To a certain degree, that's contrary to what we've been taught. Because we've been taught that it's Satan making us sick. Right? So when Apostle stands up and tells us that where we are in our health is strictly based on what we've been doing, yes. Now you got to come to grips with some personal issues on your own, which means you can't blame nobody else. I know some folk got mad. Because we're going in a new direction. So we go in a new direction, some people are going to fall off. Are you seeing this? Timothy was so intimidated by the opposition that came against Paul that he withdrew from visibly standing with Paul and the message of the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Paul had to go to Timothy and disturb the gift that is within you, that is put on you by the laying of my hands. because he had to go back and get Timothy. They had come under so much condemnation that Paul said, I can't take all this. Timothy said, I can't take all this. Paul said, you're going to have to do this on your own. So Paul had to go get him and encourage him. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Go there. Watch this. Let me show you why Timothy withdrew. This is because I need to place you in that day and age so you can understand. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Let me tell you why Timothy withdrew. Because you got to realize now, they're going to new territory and they're telling people that, now watch this now, for us, we're in training center. When we come here on Mondays and Tuesday nights, we're just in the Word. Most people in the training center have been in the Word for a while, or they're most familiar with the Word to where they kind of catch on to what's going on. But Paul and Timothy are going to territory where they didn't know if they even be a Christ. And when they go, this is what they're preaching. But we preach Christ crucified. Now, mind you now, what was so significant about this is because you got to realize that crucifixion during that time was a regular form of punishment. So it wasn't nothing spectacular about crucifying anybody. But the issue Paul then was saying is what happened when Christ was crucified. So in the minds of these Corinthians are thinking, hey, we've seen crucifixions before. We've been around crucifixion. What makes this crucifixion so much special or better than any other crucifixion? Or what makes this crucifixion stand out? So watch what Paul say. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Why? Because they still waiting on the Messiah. And unto the Greek, it's foolishness. Why it's foolish to the Greek? Because the Greek were educated people. They were full of philosophy. They were full of all kind of philosophical thoughts. So for you to come tell me that I'm made right because of another man dying on the cross, I can't figure this out. So because of that, they were persecuted. They were persecuted, so that's why Timothy fell away from Paul. And that's why Paul had to go get Timothy. Because if Paul had not got Timothy, then there could be no continuity of the message. Because Timothy was called to preach the same thing Paul was called to preach. Are you seeing this? God is raising up a new company of pastors and leaders across the earth who are accurately connecting in covenant. This is good, and are aligning their doctrines through wholesome accountability and spiritual covering. Are you seeing this? So without covenant, there cannot be any accurate doctrine, because if you go off, by yourself, eventually you're going to go in error. Why? Because God designed it that we must all be together in order for us to understand the full counsel of God. Because what I don't have, you got. What she don't have, you got. What he don't have, you got. But when we come together as the body of Christ, then we can have a continuity of the message, an accurate message, a doctrine that will penetrate darkness. Are you seeing this? Without covenant, without us having a togetherness, without us having an honor for each other, honoring different gifts in the body of Christ. I've had the unique experience because of Dr. Thompson. I've walked in a room where I've seen the who's who. If I start calling names, you'd be the who's who of the body of Christ. And you couldn't imagine the level of competition in that room. Matter of fact, I don't ever have to go back there. I don't really want to go. You know, hey, who in town? Okay, bless the brother. You can bless the sister. They go ahead and let them do their thing. I don't really need to meet them. I stay at my house. Why? Because there's no honor. So now it's all about my revelation. It's about what God told me. It's about what God showed me. So therefore, that's why there's no continuity. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Tell you a secret. Every situation you're dealing with in your life that you need an answer for is going to come out of your man or woman of God's mouth. It ain't going to come from nowhere else. Okay, let's make sense of this. We can go to scripture to figure this out, but let's just use common sense. I come to church on Sunday morning. Why do I come to church on Sunday morning? If I can't, why? What use is it me to get up on a Sunday morning, get myself together? I've worked all week. What sense does it make for me to get up on a Sunday morning, go to church, and not get what I need? What sense does that make? Especially if this is where God has placed you. If God has placed you in a certain place, God is going to provide whatever you need in that place. God told Elijah, leave, go by the brook Cherith, I think it's called. He said, there I'm going to take care of you. He fed him and gave him food, gave him water. Then all of a sudden, God told him, this is about to dry up. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. I need you to go over there. Wherever God places you, that's where he's going to feed you. Are you seeing this? Continuity of message. So now, I don't reach too far outside of what I'm talking about me now. I'm talking about me and my case, where I'm placed at. I'm not going to read a bunch of other stuff. I don't care how anointed that book or that person is. I'm not going to read all that other stuff because I don't need nothing that's going to bless. It might be anointed for another house. I don't want nothing to come in to my soul and into my spirit that will cause, listen to that minute, to cause me to miss what's happening in the house I'm in. Are you seeing this? Continuity of the message. I don't need to be mixing. What are we mixing for? If I get a little bit from here, a little bit from here, and a little bit from there, and I put it all together, I can make it work. No, that ain't how it works. That ain't how this go down. Just think about it. If we thought about that like with money, if I get a little bit of money from you, a little bit of money from you, a little bit, I ain't gonna get no job now, but I get a little bit from you, a little bit from you, a little bit from you, and I put it all together, I can make this work. Covenant relationship gives us the platform for protection against error in doctrines and morality. That is important. It gives a protection from errors in doctrine and morality. I promise you, those that are teaching hyper grace don't have nobody in their life that can talk to them and tell them, are you looking at the whole counsel of God? I've been in a Word of Faith camp. I know some of them and they ain't trying to hit nothing else. Can't nobody tell them nothing. So nobody can't tell you nothing. And you think you know. Then how you going to know when you're off in error? You don't. By the time you find out, you're almost too far gone. This doctrine, it's an old doctrine, but the gospel of inclusion. I know a gentleman went way off the deep end with the gospel of inclusion. Everybody saved. No, they ain't. If everybody saved, watch this. If everybody is saved, then where is the power of choice? If there is no power of choice, then that means I'm forced to love God. which really ain't true love. Because if I'm forced to love somebody, it wasn't, I'm doing it because I'm forced. So is it really love or am I trapped? You see this? So these doctrines and without covenant and without accountability, error will develop in doctrines. Errors have to develop in doctrines. Watch this. It keeps us close to one another so that there is purity and holiness in each of our lives. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and 1. Though through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and meddleth with all wisdom. Other words, another version of it is, he who separates himself seeks his own desires, his cause against all sound wisdom. You find these people, and I mean these people, you find the people the body of Christ, they just, I mean, they just weird for weird. You know what I'm saying? They get off to themselves and they got all these strange doctrines. Do y'all know Satan knows the Bible too, right? You know Satan knows the Bible. And so if you get off by yourself without no accountability, trying to meditate the word of God, then Satan will get involved in your meditation. Because meditation takes place in the soul. Satan has access to your soul. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in his heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. Solomon understood this. You know, a man who separates themselves, trying to develop their own message. And watch this now. Watch this. Here's why. This is why the principle of seed time and harvest is so important. Because you operate off the principle of seed time and harvest, you ain't got to try to make nothing happen financially. Do you know most ministries are born out of financial foundations? Going after money? Most ministries are focused on how many partners can they get, or how many members can they get in the church? And so they're trying to develop their own little, they're trying to corner the market, their own little side of the market. And that's why they come up with all these strange revelations. Those who separate themselves from an accountable relationship will often choose their own way and follow their own desires. There is no one to bring checks or balances to their thoughts, desires, or doctrine. What the guy was? Jim Jones. Jim Jones started off proper. Started off with sound doctrine. Because of no covering, because of not having covenant, now you got people following him to go drink Kool-Aid with cyanide in it. Are you seeing this? Because of, now watch this. The continuity of the message. Covenant brings continuity of the message. Same voice, same message. So therefore, when you have accountability that comes from covenant with the same voice, same message, if Satan do try to come up with some foolishness, there's somebody there to tell me that sound crazy. I might not like it, but at least they're there. Those who live in the power of covenant relationships will keep their message honorable and pure, as it is our contribution to legacy and to the next generation. Just think about this. Isaac, Abraham, the first thing concerned about is what kind of offspring I'm going to have. Now watch this. He was very specific. He said, I cannot leave all of this to Eleazar. And he wasn't talking about the riches. That was part of it. He was saying, but I cannot leave this legacy to somebody that is not born in my house. Are you seeing this? So that gives, he had a chance to bring Isaac up. Say, Isaac, this is what we are about. Isaac, this is what I stand for. Isaac, I was walking out one day and all of a sudden I heard a voice told me, leave my mother and my father, go to a land that and God told me he was going to show me. He told me I'm going to be a father of many nations. Isaac had to get all this and understand that so that he can pass it on to continuity of the message. Without that continuity of the message, there would not have been focus in place to bring Jesus into the earth realm. Are you seeing this? Continuity of the message. That's important. It got to have continuity of the message. When we become one voice to our generation, we collectively synergize in covenant relationships all across the earth. Believe it or not, everybody who's claiming to be, listen to that internet, everybody who's claiming to be an apostle is not. There are too many apostles in the body of Christ. Too many. There's too many apostles. Every time you look around, this is a person's apostle. This person's apostle. You know what? Show me fruit. Show me fruit that you're an apostle, which means that you have God with you in a special way that he ain't with too many other people. God is doing something with you that is unique, that is causing heaven to earth structure, government structure to be established. You're structuring doctrine. That's what an apostle does. An apostle structures doctrine. So if you're not spiritually experienced enough to structure doctrine, because watch this, Jesus had to depend on the 12 apostles for continuity of the message. Jesus going off the scene, hear me. Jesus done made the greatest sacrifice that mankind has ever seen. He had to put it, the story, the message, the gospel, in the hands of 12 men. How accurate do you think they had to be? Not only that, Jesus never gave us a clear explanation of salvation and how to do it. It was the Apostle Paul who told us how we could be born again, how we can accept the redemption plan in our life, how we can be translated from darkness into the glorious light of our dear Father. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. That was Paul wrote that. It was an apostle structuring doctrine. So now we have to have that continuity of message. So, other words, our spiritual leaders have to be connected to spiritual leaders that have given us an unfiltered, untainted, non-compromising message of the gospel so that we can take the same message to the next generation. The fourth purpose of covenant is for the separation of whole communities. Go to with me to Nehemiah, the 10th chapter. We're not going to read all of it. We're going to read a portion of it. But that 10th chapter, if you ever get a chance, you need to read that 10th chapter of Nehemiah. That 10th chapter of Nehemiah begins to tell us how they secured a fresh covenant from God. Uh, All God is trying to do is to create a community. Now, watch this. Watch this. I need to explain this. For separation of whole communities. That's not talking about separation geographically. What it means is separation spiritually, separation soul-wise, separation belief-wise. You know, it's kind of hard. It gives you a great example. At one time I was at a function, and the Lord taught me a lesson at this particular function. I seen two men. They had been put like this. They had been enjoying the they had been enjoying the fire water. Everybody know what I mean when I say fire water? Everybody been enjoying the fire water. And one began to talk to the other about living right. And the conversation was just so screwed. I mean, just so convoluted, just all confusing. And at that moment, I realized why there must be a separation of behavior, a separation of belief, a separation in how you live. Because I can't win nobody in the same situation they're in. So what I mean by for a separation of community, it means there must be, watch this, even though you may be working right next to that person every day, there should be something about you that make them realize that y'all not the same. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So there must be a separation for a separation of communities. In other words, that's the purpose of covenant. The purpose of covenant is for intimate relationship, for an increase in promised blessing, for continuity of the message. All that lead, all of this stuff is leading to is to a grace that is resting on you, that was resting on who you connected to, that the other people see there's something different about you. That's the separation of community. That's what it means. God tried this twice. God, first of all, tried this with Noah. God tried to separate a community. You remember how God separated that community? He separated them by getting rid of everybody else. So God did it again. This time, God, because God had put the rainbow in the sky, and he had made what? A covenant with man that he'll never do that again. He had to find another way to do it. This time he did it with Abraham. He said, leave your mother and father, and I will show you a place that I want you to go. You're going to be a father of many nations. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I find that scripture very powerful because God said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. He never mentioned cursing anymore. So it means God's expectation is for us to be blessed. So if I wind up cursed, it was because of my choice. It wasn't God's choice. Are you seeing this? So therefore, there must be a separation from the normal way of living. Romans 12, turn there. This separation has to take place more in the soul than anywhere else. Because your body is going to follow your soul. Your spirit already trying to tell your soul where to go. Romans the 12th chapter. We're going to close here. Romans the 12th chapter, verse 2. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by covenant, continuity of the message. Why? So that ye can prove what that is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's separation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means a separation has to take place. That means when I'm in covenant with my spiritual leader, information and impartation is coming that's transforming my soul that will cause me to be separated. In other words, things happen in my life that's not happening in other people's lives, which going to cause them to want to know what's happening with me that's not happening with them. The reason why we don't have that, the reason why it's so difficult to witness right now is because we look just like the world. Why we look like the world? Because there's no continuity of message. So there's no continuity of message. So now hyper grace comes out, and then you got word of faith over here. Then you got this person over here talking about the end time. So we all divided amongst ourselves. There's no apostolic government in place. So when there's no apostolic government, God's power cannot be released. So our lives look just like the lives of those that are in the world. So now when I go and tell them they need Jesus, they tell us, Jesus, you got Jesus? If you got him and that's how you look, I don't want him. That's why it's hard to witness these days. Not because the power or the name of Jesus is any less effective. It's because we're not in apostolic government, no covenant, no continuity of message. We're not separated. I'm explaining to you what I mean by separated. Our lives look just like the lives of people in the world. Sunday, we got hot Sunday morning. Apostle say, you sick because of what you've been doing. Oh, we don't want to hear that. Wait a minute. I can't go lay hands on somebody and get them sick, get them well. So the first question, do you need me to pray with you? No, you need to pray for yourself because I'm seeing you sick. So whatever you got, sure ain't going to work for me. So let it work on you first. Before you come talk to me. Are you seeing this? Do you see why there's need for separation of community? There has to be something about our lives that's going on in our lives that makes us stand out to where other people want to know what is happening. What are you doing? What's happening with you? What's going on with your life? Then you can begin to usher them in. That's what it's all about. That's what made Jesus so different. That's why Jesus attracted crowds. Because nobody else was going around. That woman had the issue of blood for 12 years. She went to all the physicians. She went to all the Pharisee and the Sadducee and all the religious folk in that day. They couldn't do nothing. She come to Jesus. She ain't say nothing to Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. Wait a minute. That's something different about him. Yep. This man sitting by the pool waiting for the water to be troubled. For years. Here a man come in and say, well, why are you waiting here? He said, I ain't got nobody to put me in. He said, you got to get the, take your bed and walk. The man got up and walked. Ain't nobody. The man been there for all those years. Wasn't nobody else doing that? There was something different about him that made him attractive to people. Now listen to this. I'm closing with this. Out of all. Jesus wasn't a popular, famous person he is now than he was when he was alive. They didn't like Jesus when he was alive. So why was Jesus able to attract enough people that he had to feed 5,000? Because you might not like him, but he's doing some stuff that y'all ain't doing. So that caused people to overlook the skepticism that other people were trying to put in their head about Jesus to go look him up for themselves. It gets so much to where one of the chief people in the city, stealing everybody else, got in a tree, lost all his dignity to get in the tree just to see who this Jesus was. What made him want to do that? He had heard all the miracles that Jesus did, all the power that surrounded Jesus. Jesus was separate, was in a community that was separated from the norm. Are you seeing this? So this is the purpose of one of the purposes of covenant is for a separation of whole communities so that our lives can be put on a hill, on a mountain. Mountain represents government that people can see. so that they are attracted. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, how is Jesus lifted up? Not by your mouthpiece. Jesus lifted up by your lifestyle. He said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'm going to be the one to draw all men unto me. Are you seeing this? We'll finish that next week. Y'all have a good night.